All right, Revelation Road, chapter 17. We are moving along this road for sure, but we got a long way to go. I'm going to talk a little bit about last week, and it's going to lead into, obviously, tonight. So I'm going to kind of dovetail it all and give you some fresh information concerning last time. But chapter 17, remember, it's a flashback chapter, okay? It takes us back. It's kind of like a parenthetical, and God fills in the gap. It's just the way the book of Revelation is. You know, many times you can read stories in the New Testament, and they're cut and dry, or dry and cut. I mean, they're just right there. You could follow along. You understand what's happening, you know, and these things. But Revelation causes you to go back to the Old Testament and take pieces from there and then apply them to the New Testament. It causes you to think. Many times the Lord will say, well, here's wisdom. And all this is important because it's revealing his final plan. And he wants us to search it out. So chapter 17 is kind of that chapter that fills in a lot of the gaps of other chapters, if that's all right. So let's begin here in verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, or what? The bowls, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. So we know many waters represents people or nations. So this particular whore that he's speaking of deals with a global cabal or a global reach. It's not just down the road. It's going to be not only nationwide, but it's going to be global. So we have to understand that. And why that's imperative that we bring that out, and this, again, this is a little fresh teaching. The reason we have to understand this is because what we're watching when we hear of the way the church is acting up, and we hear of the Babylonian church and the pagan church, and this is happening, and almost seems like on every continent we're seeing pastors fall, and we're seeing debaucheries and paganism. What you're watching is the birthing and the rising up of that whore. It's all over the world, okay? So not one particular place is a sanctuary, if you will, from this. It's happening everywhere. And this is why, because God said it would be this type of whore system over all the world, over all the waters or the nations, again, representing people. So that's just a little more in detail than we went last time. So let's go to next verse. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. So we know that the leadership of the world has been in bed with this particular entity. Okay, we're going to get into more description of this particular whore in a minute and this whole system. But we know that this is a system that's been operating for ages, if you will. And I believe it goes all the way back to Babel, or to Babel, however you want to pronounce it, which we've showed you last time. But this has been happening to where they have fornicated, or they've gotten involved in the idolatry. Remember, when it speaks of that fornication, it's not just the physical aspect of fornication. It is also the spiritual fornication. Anytime that you become estranged from God, and you go after other gods, or even yourself as a god, or your business, or your family, or whatever, and you make an idol, you commit fornication. And you cause yourself to be estranged from the relationship with God. And God uses it all through Scripture, especially with Israel, to describe how he feels about it. He said he's forever married to the backslider, is that right? But he also has taken Israel and said, look, you've committed adultery because I've been married to you, okay? I love you and I made covenant with you. So this is very telling for us that all the kings have committed fornication and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So again, not only has the leadership, the elites, prime ministers and ambassadors and CEO and O's and business people and generals in the military, what have you, not only have they been in this fornication and in this idolatry, but also the people. And so this system is, again, wide-reaching or far-reaching, and it also reaches up high to the highest levels, and then it reaches low to the lowest levels. So it's all over the world. And it's no wonder, and it doesn't take a prophet to sit here and look at our world and see this happening before us and then match it with the Word of God. It's that easy. I talk to people all the time, and I speak to people that they say they're believers, and you kind of wonder, but even they know what time it is. Yeah. They're like, man, it's getting bad. Yeah. Bad, I mean bad. Real bad. You know, they can't put their finger, they can't go, well, this is Revelation 13, or this is Revelation. They're like, it's bad. You know, and you tell them, well, look, you know, the Bible says it's going to get badder. Yeah, I know it's going to get badder. You know, and people, I think, are resolved to realize it ain't going to get gooder. Bad English, but it ain't going to get gooder. It's going to get badder. And so it's in man to recognize and realize that. Again, it doesn't take a prophet to go outside and realize what the world is. No different does it take a meteorologist to go outside when it's raining and say, it's going to rain. I think that's what our guys do around here, and they still get it wrong. All right, so check it out. So the inhabitants of the earth have made drunk. What does it mean to be drunk with the wine of her fornication? That means to have excess. It's just excess. So they're wallowing in. When somebody drinks wine or whiskey or any alcohol to get drunk, they usually wallow in it, don't they? Yeah, they're wallow. So they're in this thing. So this isn't an accident. I want you to hear this. This is, again, fresh. This is not accidental relationship. This is intentional. You don't accidentally get drunk. Let me find someone who's been in my shoes. When I was in the world, and I'm not going to glorify nothing, but when I was in the world, I set out to do what I was going to do. I mean, I woke up and said, you know what? By 5 o'clock, I know what was going on. Yeah, I'm gonna go. Let me move. My children are here. Next verse. So he carried me away in the spirit to where? Into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. I think that's kind of where I might have left off last time. Is that right? Some are right in there. So I'm gonna jump into that, but what I was teaching you prior to that was Nimrod's kingdom. Remember that? We were talking about Nimrod's kingdom and how that there was the idolatry. And I gave you all the scriptures, Genesis chapter 10. You can go to chapter 11 as well. And I gave you the question. I said, why does God deal so harshly with the whore of Babylon? When you think about it, because he spends time speaking against Babylon in many places in the Bible, but especially when it comes down to the end, there's 2 Babylons we're going to talk about. But he's really specific about it. It's like, remember I said, he has a vendetta. He's got an issue. He is going to deal with it. And the reasons why is because it goes all the way back to Nimrod. And then you look at verse 1 and verse 2 of the description of what she's been doing. And she's been influencing all these people and all of society for so long that God is going to deal with this system, because this system, get ready for this system is a counterfeit to the kingdom. And God has a big problem with counterfeits. Yeah. We just ministered on Sunday morning about hypocrites, right? The hypocrisy of the Pharisees, which is 11 of the Pharisees, right? God, he would rather you be what? Hot or cold. Don't be lukewarm. Don't fake it. You know, we have an old saying in leadership, it says, fake it till you make it. No, you don't want to do that with God, because there's no fake in him. You can fake your brother and sister, but you can't fake God. And so this system is a counterfeit. So the first thing I want you to write down in this, as we're traveling along this road here, is that this whore of Babylon is a religious system. And I'm going to get into more detail momentarily. So it's a religious system, again, going back to Babel or to Babel, going back to Nimrod and that kingdom, okay, that he was trying to build. These guys were giants. They were renowned. They were hunters. And there were so many things about this particular lot of people that they had the skill and the ability to build this tower, which again was not to heaven, but for heaven, for the heavens, and for the gods. And I've explained it to you last time, and I won't go back into that. But we know through artifacts, and we know through Scripture, that's exactly what they were doing. So it wasn't, again, building to God. They were trying to get away from Him. And again, some other theories was they used it for being able to look across the landscape as a tower, a watchtower for other enemies that would try to come and move them out of their position and take their city. So very interesting. But God had and has still an issue with it. So that spirit, I want you to recognize and realize this, as we teach the book of Revelation, there's nothing new under the sun. The exodus of us rapturing out, which happens at the parousia, the ending, the second coming of Christ when He appears, the exodus of the church through Jesus Christ is a type and shadow, or is actually the reality of the type and shadow of what was in the Old Testament with the children of Israel. It's 2.0. It's exactly the same scenario. So I've taught you before, you take the Old Testament and many of the stories and you can overlay them into the New Testament and it fits perfectly. Why? Because in the Old Testament, the New Testament is concealed. It's a glass darkly. We can't see it. But when we come into the New Testament, the Old Testament is revealed. And all of a sudden we go, wow, we point back, we go, oh, that makes sense. Now I know why they lifted up the pole with snakes on it and people were healed. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, all men shall be drawn unto me, right? And so on. It goes on and on. It's very, very cool. So we break this out to understand that same spirit is alive through all these centuries and is really now manifesting itself in a tremendous way. So again, going back to my statement, you don't have to be a prophet. You sit there and look at the word and you go, yeah, that makes sense. We're watching Babylon rise. We're watching this whore rise. She's gaining more power. That's why we're seeing necromancy in the church and witchcraft and speaking to the dead and all this stuff. Oh, you see what I'm saying? Again, it doesn't take somebody, Sister Yay Yay and Mr. Nay Nay, to get up and prophesy. It's right there for you. Okay? I don't despise prophesying, but we have to be careful we don't get so caught up with somebody else's revelation. Okay? So we're seeing that Nimrod, we're looking at this. So he carried him away, and here's this woman. She sits upon a scarlet-covered beast, or colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Remember, that scarlet, you know, that represents sacrifice, it represents sin, it represents blood. And later on we talk about how she's decked out. And the reason why she's decked out is because she's been given so many gifts. Again, when you're involved in witchcraft and you're involved in making people money, you're involved in giving people fortune telling and all these different things that goes on, it can make you quite wealthy. Just ask Dionne Warwick. Okay, we'll try that again. And others who are, you don't know that? Dial 1-800. To get your horoscope, all those people, they make multiplied millions of dollars because people call in to get their fortune read or what have you. And it's nothing more than witchcraft. Let me read to you. I want to go back to what I read to you the other day, but I want to read this to you a little slower because it's tying into what we're going to talk about right here. According to various legends, now this would be Nimrod's wife. Remember we talked about Semiramis? She became pregnant after engaging in an adulterous affair while married to Nimrod. Now pay attention to what I'm going to tell you. Okay? Around the same time, Nimrod dies a violent and untimely death in an effort to retain power and to hide her misdeeds. Semiramis makes a most audacious claim. She publicly declares that upon Nimrod's death, he has been resurrected as the god of the sun. Remember I told you that? The god of the sun. Now listen. As the sun god, Nimrod used his rays to miraculously inseminate Semiramis with a child. The child was thus considered to be divinely conceived. The child's name was Tammuz. Remember we talked about Tammuz in the book of Ezekiel, which she claimed was the reincarnated Nimrod. Thus, Semiramis was both Nimrod's wife and mother. Okay? After scattering that occurs at the Tower of Babel, this story of the miraculous conception of this child disseminated throughout the world and led to the rise of various birth, death, rebirth cults that are littered through history. These mystery religions of future generations adopted different names for Semiramis and her child Thomas or Tomas. And we know that because you have the Greeks have Adonai and Aphrodite. We have Osiris and Isis or Iris. We have all kinds of different names, Ishtar, okay? All these, what am I telling, why did I bring that out? Because we go back then to all of these stories and these, some of his mythology and all of these historic things have translated to our modern day life to where it is happening now and people are worshiping and people are participating in it, whether it's the Virgin Mary type of thing or they're looking towards the stars in horoscopes, all of this. In other words, it is still the same spirit. It's just the old serpent, but it's a new twist. And again, this is why I want to make it practical and plain to the body of Christ that there's nothing new under the sun. Right. And you don't have to know every name I just gave you. You don't have to know every story of mythology. You know what you need to know? The Bible's true. Mm-hmm. That it's just say devil. He's the devil. And that's exactly what he's doing. But here it is. He's woven himself through the centuries and through all these different cultures, all these different nations of the world, just different names. Again, I told you about being in Nepal where there's over 300 million gods. And all the places I went to see the temple and the monkey temple there's monkeys everywhere and you have monks everywhere chanting and it was a very, very weird experience to be in Kathmandu, I'll tell you that. It was a lot weirder than the song about Kathmandu. But, just an amazing thing. But and we sit here in the Western world and we say, well, you know, that's all fables and stuff. Yeah, to us, but to them it's fact. Because they've been deceived. And so this is a cabal. So when I say this, and we talk about the mystery of Babylon, we talk about the horror of Babylon, we're not talking about just something new ecumenical movement that's happening among the churches or the World Council of Churches. This is ancient. This goes back to the garden. This goes back to Nimrod. And this is just littered throughout history. Okay? And I want us to see that because, again, I think what we do in modern times is we try to apply prophecy just to right now. And yeah, you get to do that, but you have to go and look at the whole picture, and then you begin to understand and answer that question. Why is God so angry with the whore of Babylon? Why is he going to destroy it like he is? Well, we're seeing that. So I wanted to go back and hit that, if that was okay, because I think it's imperative that we come to that perspective. There's nothing new under the sun. So he carried me away, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast full of the names of blasphemy. Remember, it's not like that this beast has name tags that say bad things. It just means there's no shame whatsoever. It's blasphemy, you know, coming against God in every way you can imagine. All right. Having seven heads and 10 horns, seven heads and 10 horns. I told you we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Let's see where I am on my notes here. All right, so she's sitting on that beast, the seven heads. I was telling you about that last time. I said, write down mountains. Remember I told you about mountains? And here's why I told you that, because I'm gonna give you a bunch of theories, okay? And these are just things that are out there. You may have heard it before. And then we're going to let the Bible interpret the Bible, okay? And then some of that we're going to say, okay, we don't have full understanding. And that's okay, because I believe a lot of things are going to be game time. Say amen. And that's the safest way to teach. That's the safest way and humblest way to walk before God, that there's going to be a lot of game time stuff that we're not going to get until that very moment, okay? So I told you about the seven heads. They represent the authority, and they also represent leadership. And then I told you they represent mountains. And I'll go ahead and give it to you now, because the Bible's going to explain itself as we go. But the seven mountains teaching, is some people believe that it has to do with the seven peaks of society. And I won't give them all to you, but education, arts, you know, sports, politics, the world of commerce or economics. These are seven mountain teachings. Some of y'all might have heard it before in just leadership teaching. It was a really big movement several years ago, and everybody was like, we're going to take the mountains for God. We're going to Hollywood, and we're going to flip Hollywood upside down, and it's all going to be for Jesus. How many of y'all know that didn't happen? Christian television is doing good. I mean, we're seeing a lot of good movies come out. I've enjoyed a lot of good movies, things like that. The Kendrick brothers are doing a great job down there in South Georgia and what have you. But we haven't flipped Hollywood upside down. In fact, Hollywood's getting worse. We haven't flipped the sporting world upside down. In fact, they're getting more pagan every day. In fact, you get to the point where you don't even watch sports no more. Who cares about it? So it's a teaching that's out there, and it just doesn't fit. So I wanted to bring that out in the beginning. The seven mountains teaching is not what this is talking about, okay? So if you heard that before, or someone tries to put that together for you, that's not what it's speaking about, okay? The ten kings, obviously, that represents a federation. I wanted you to write that down last time. It's a federation, a coalition, if you will, a cabal, all right? Remember, the devil can do nothing without a host body. He needs a host body. Yes, demons have the ability to travel. If we could see in the spirit realm, we would see a tremendous warfare. We would see angelic beings. We would see a lot of things that would probably paralyze us, because it's an amazing world that's more real than this. But they don't have the ability to infect and affect our part of our life without permission. And they surely can't possess you as a Christian. Okay? They have to be invited in. And that's, again, another time for demonology and studying on that. I want you to write this down, because we're going to get into the systems. Now, there's three systems we're going to speak about. Three systems. Number one is Babylonian, which is the religion part. Babylonian religion. Three systems. Number one, Babylonian religion. Number two, the beast system, which deals with money, you know, finances, the economy. So you want to write that down. Money, finance, the economy. That's the beast system. And third is the world system. Third is the world system. Okay? What is the world system? That's the delivery system. That's the vehicle. Okay? Again, the devil can't do what he wants to do through the Antichrist without these systems. He has to come to the place where he's worshipped, but he can't get there with horns and a pitchfork. Follow what I'm teaching you. He can't do it by showing up and saying, that's pretty good, huh? Not bad. He can't do that. He's got to say, I say, praise the Lord, hallelujah. You know, he's got to come in with some type of trickery. He's got to come in with some type of fake to get to where he can get where he needs to be. So we have this whore riding on top of that beast. Is that right? The whore thinks, if I'm riding on a horse, don't you think I'm in control? But do you think that horse is thinking he's in control? When he throws me off, he knows he's in control. Right? And he's probably thinking the whole time, you're fat and I'm going to throw you off. You're hurting my back, buddy. I don't know what they think, but if I was a horse, I'd probably think the same thing. Get off of me. In this particular incident, we see here this occurrence, we see this whore on top of that beast, and she's decked out. She's got scarlet. She looks like she's doing pretty good. She's got the cup. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And she's riding that beast, and she's like, yeah, this is awesome. But what she doesn't realize is the beast is using her. Are you getting it? The beast is using her, is using that system of religion, that Babylonian system that goes all the way back to Nimrod. And I put everything right back to the garden because it's the same old serpent. Okay? So those are the three systems. And I talked to you earlier about the demons. You know, they have to have that vehicle. So now let's go to verse 4. Does that help you any? Makes it a little more plain? Verse 4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. Okay? Purple and scarlet color. That's a definition there, a symbolic of royalty. Again, blood, red, sacrifice, sin, that type of thing. I don't want to get ahead of myself because I know where so many of us have been taught. So I'm trying to pace myself because right there I can hear somebody screaming through the camera, that's Rome! It's talking about Rome! Just hang on. You know I'm telling you, right? Because your mind's, you've been taught that. But we're not, I'm gonna address it, but I'm not ready to address it. So quit yelling at me, okay? You on last week, quit yelling. So purple is royalty, right? Scarlet is that sacrifice. But it also represents seduction. It represents seduction. You know, you're looking at this woman. Just think about this, purple and scarlet. She's not wearing a bib overalls with holes in her socks. Right? Bless your heart, that's all you got, wear it. But she's not wearing that. And she's decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. How many of y'all know, you know, guys, we can't do much about ourselves. We look like we look. But if a woman decks herself out a little bit, she sure gets prettier, don't she? Come on, ladies, say amen. That's why you do it, right? You get a little cuter. A guy, he's just like, hey, how you doing? You know, it's all I got right here, babe. I'm all yours. You know, we don't have nothing to hide behind, do we, Sarah? I mean, we're, unless you're one of these guys that wear makeup. But anyhow, you know, so I'm getting this picture for you. She's all decked out. She's seductive. She's been seducing these kings and all this stuff. Why? Because people who have false religions and a false relationship with God, they need that church. They need religiosity. It's like I told you before, there's really no nation in the world that goes to war without their gods. Whether it's a shaman praying over the people or some false high priest, there's always something connected. Even your communists who say they're atheists, they have a god, it's themselves. And so the world has found its position with this Nimrod spirit. And she has all of these things, decked with gold and precious stones. Where did she get all this? From them. Now remember, this is not a literal woman. This is symbolic. So how did this religious system, this Babylonian system, get its wealth? One, from selling books and DVDs. It was because the kings of the earth were made drunk. They got the fornication. They got what they wanted out of her. And again, it doesn't specifically speak of Rome, and I'm going to get into that in a minute, but I know it's where a lot of our minds go, and we have to broaden it because it's beyond that. Does it play a part? Does Rome play a part? I believe so. Absolutely. No different than the Council of Churches, the Worldwide Council of Churches, or a church that's super liberal in America that supports, you know, all these other types of lifestyles that are out there. All of that adds to the kitty, if you will. It adds to the total sum, doesn't it? Absolutely. But this is a spirit, and this is a system, okay? So he's got stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Just full. So you can picture this harlot on this beast that sits on many waters, just drunk and having a good time. You know what I'm talking about. You ever been in the world and it was that one person at the bar that was the loudest? And anyways, I'm trying not to look at anybody. But, you know, it was just that one person, you know, it's like, that person's having a good time right there. You know, that's the symbolic understanding of this, that this particular entity, this system, is just partying down and everybody's getting drunk off of her. Make sense? Okay, it's one big party. But again, it's not. It's going to cause great destruction. All right, so next verse. And by the way, the golden cup and the pearls and all that, they also represent prosperity. Prosperity. This system, this whore system, this religious system, this Babylonian system, is very wealthy. Very wealthy. That's why I believe it doesn't apply to one denomination or one specific church entity. I believe it is a plethora. Whether it is loosely fit together or it is tightly fit together supernaturally, that will come later. But I believe it's in operation right now. And if you put it together collectively, look at some of your denominations. Let me give you an example. Some of your denominations are bringing in multiplied millions and millions of dollars by the hundreds. An incredible amount of money goes through churches, especially large churches that are on television, evangelical churches, or what have you. So now multiply that by the world, and you can just imagine how much money is going through this particular system. Okay? So they make, remember this. This is an interesting scenario. Would you go back to the verse 4? I'm sorry, because there's something I wanted to show you right here. Notice she has a cup in her hand full of abominations, right? So what does she offer to them to drink? The abominations. What are we offered to drink? The cup of salvation. Do you see the difference? The whore church says, do what you want to do. Drink up, boy. Yeah, you want to drink? It's okay. You go to heaven, you want to drink. You want to smoke pot? You want to do mushrooms? Come on, all the stuff I've been showing you guys over the years. You want to have, you know, whatever, relationships, go right ahead. It don't really matter. Just pay your tithe. Just come to church. Ah, praise God. Woo! You know, and you just drink, 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 drink. Well, Pastor, can I play with Ouija boards? Yeah, go ahead, man. Oh, my God, don't care about that stuff. And then all this leaven gets in the house, and all that is this whore. Jesus makes us drink of his cup. His cup is what? The cross. His cup is sacrifice. His cup is paying a price. His cup is the way of the cross, which is death. But the other side of the cup is what? Resurrection is life. Okay? So I want you to see that there's that difference, but it's a parallel for a reason. All right? So next verse. Thank you. Verse 5. And upon her forehead was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abominations of the earth. Nowhere else, except in the two descriptions or several descriptions of Babylon, does anybody get this type of title. And notice, in the translations, it's all capitalized. It's almost like the Lord's screaming it out, isn't he? He's got an issue with this. Everything else, he's like, okay, this is going to happen. And he's like, you know, really lays it out. So it's a mystery Babylon the Great, or the Megos Babylon. Again, going back to Nimrod, this is the greatness of what they tried to do. Think of it this way. They tried to build the temple, the tower, the sanctuary. God stopped it. Now he comes to the end of time, and that system, that serpent, has gone all the way through, threaded throughout the centuries, all the way through Catholicism, helping Hitler. Come on, somebody. And on it goes. You know, you can talk about churches in America with racism and turning a blind eye in the South. You can go on and on. It's all there, how that this serpent has gone through all these different epochs of time. okay, in decades of time, centuries of time, and now it's come to the greatness of the totality of Babylon. Again, it's coming to the end, and God is saying, we're going to deal with this. Okay, so next verse. And I said, I have this in my notes. Let me go ahead and let's just kick this cow over. I believe this is not speaking of Rome. This is not speaking of Rome. The reason why your commentaries, and I say it humbly, I'm not going to go in the parking lot and wrestle anybody or do a duel, see who shoots first. I'm not interested in that. But those commentaries in your Bibles and your great commentaries of the past, these are brilliant people, their knowledge was limited. Their knowledge was limited. Why? Because the history that they had was not too far in the distance, and it was kind of right there. In other words, they're not here. They haven't gone this far. They haven't gone past Hitler. They haven't gone past Mussolini, Pol Pot. They haven't gone past all these other issues and come to this point. They're already gone. They're in their heaven. They're in their reward. So they were limited. And so when they looked at this thing, it made sense to them that it was Rome. But remember, there's types and shadows that lead to the whole. In other words, Hitler was a type of the Antichrist, but he wasn't, right? He was a type and shadow. The one that's coming is going to make Hitler look like a choir boy. Okay, we know that. Scripture shows that. So I don't believe that it's speaking of particular Rome itself or the Catholic Church, as many would say. Because watch this. Go back to that verse. I just like being practical. Is that okay? Because that's the best way to learn. Go back. Verse 5. If it were Rome, then it would no longer be a mystery. Out of the ballpark. How could it be a mystery if I already know what it is? See, we don't know all of it. It's a game time situation. But we can begin to put pieces together and we can say, yeah, Rome has something to do with it. Catholicism has something to do with it. This has something to do with it. The Mormons have something to do with it. Cults have something to do with it. Backslidden liberal churches have something to do with it, right? Cultic pastors and leaders like Jim Jones, who's now gone. Everybody has their piece of this mystery Babylon. But it is a system that we're looking at. You're looking at something that is spiritual. Does that make a sense to you? It is a system that is in operation. You can't always see things, in the spirit. Obviously, we don't know everything that's happening around us, right? But we know it's there. Okay, so that's the example I wanted to give you. So I don't believe that it is speaking of one specific entity. Now, the word there, hidden and secret, or the word secret there, the word mystery means shut up. It means to be shut up. That's what I was trying to give you. It means to be hidden or secret. And that's 3466 if you want to look that up in the Greek. Okay? So in other words, it's shut up. Like God told Daniel, hey, you're going to get information, but you're going to have to hold it until the time of the end. Then it's revealed. Again, that's why I believe that some of this is game time. Mega, again, going back to that great or the apex of what Nimrod and Satan wanted to do. And all these different things. I'm trying to break this down for you because I went too fast and I went past it. But mother, the mother, what is a mother? She gives life, right? So she's the giver of life to what? Harlots. Watch me now. So it can't be just one entity. It can't be one particular organization because Babylon the Great, or now the Mega, or Megas, what Nimrod started, is now vast. It's everywhere. The mother of the harlots gave birth to this system that represents, again, an unknown amount of people, organizations, churches, what have you. It's like an ecumenical movement. It's like Chrislam being mixed together and this religion mixed together with that religion. And yes, you can look at the Rome and you can look at Catholicism and you can look at the Pope's edicts. You can look at how they're trying to put the Hindus together with the Muslims together with the Catholics, the Christians, and all of it's this mixture. We got that. We got that. But it is a totality of it coming together. Does that make sense? But you'll be taught, and we were taught, I was taught that all came from Rome. She gave birth to all this. This is Nimrod, baby. This is way before them. Are they a byproduct of some of that teaching? Yep them. You better believe it. When you pray to saints and you do all that stuff and you have mythology and you have demonology and all kinds of stuff mixed into Christianity, yeah, you got a problem there. We admit that. We teach that. But that isn't the soul of it all. Okay? Is this okay for you? Remember, there's a reason why they call things the motherland, right? Well, Babel was the motherland. Not Rome, in general speaking. Okay? So, it gave life. Watch this. The mother of harlots gave life to what? To the abominations of the earth, or fornication, or porneia. Remember pornography? That filthiness. She gave life to that. This stuff was happening way before Rome. This was happening way before the Pope. Okay? So I hope I drove that pretty heavy into the ground there, because that's exactly what needs to be taught, so that we're not just focusing on one entity, we're focusing on the totality of the spirit of the age. Okay? Again, that word fornication, filth, abominations, foul things, to stink. Okay? Now, man, I don't know if I can get through all this. Oh, I have so much good stuff to give you. In Daniel chapter 2, write this down. Let me see how far I can go. Daniel chapter 2 and in Daniel chapter 7. In Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar had the dream. In Daniel chapter 7, Daniel had the vision. In Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed of the statue. You remember the statue? The golden head? Remember that? And it represented those different nations. And then you came down to the toes, the 10 toes. Remember the 10 kings of Revelation we're just teaching on? The 10 toes was a new or a revived type of entity or kingdoms. Now, your modern teaching says that the legs of iron is the Roman Empire, that the feet mixed with clay, iron and clay, represents the revived Roman Empire, which means that the Antichrist would come out of Europe. I'm just going to lay this out here. I don't believe that's necessarily true. Because of the way the Old Testament speaks, it speaks specifically of that ring of Islamic nations that have surrounded Israel. It's not that Europe won't be involved, or other nations, China. And we know the world will be against Israel. We know the world will come against God and Jesus at Armageddon. So we know it is a total cabal. But we've been taught by our former prophecy teachers that this is what it has to be. It has to be the revived Roman Empire, because Rome is so bad, and because of this and because of that. Are you with me? How many of y'all were taught that? I'm just throwing this out there for you. I'm giving you all these different views and examples. I believe it deals with an Islamic movement. An Islamic movement, because of the verbiage. And if the Lord leads me, one day we'll just do a whole teaching on Armageddon and the whole thing of the last days with Israel. And you'll see it. It doesn't say Brussels. Help me. It doesn't say Berlin. Not that these places can't be involved. You know, it talks about Tomar, it talks about Gomer, it talks about Gog and Magog. There's so many different terminologies that deal with modern Turkey. It deals with Iran, the Persians, Egypt down below, south. there's a lot of ancient vindictive IOUs out there that are ancient that have to still come to pass. And some of those IOUs are from God to these nations who have messed with Israel. So that's just a little bullet thing there I wanted you to see. But when you look at those dreams, you know, with Nebuchadnezzar, you know, the golden head, the silver representing what? Greece. Then we have the yeah, that mixed iron and clay and these different the silver represents trying to remember who that was. That silver aspect of it. And so you have these different nations, these kingdoms, but then again, I want to focus, my job is really to focus more on those 10 toes. So you have that revived kingdom, if you will. Well, there's a lot of teaching that believes that that iron legs, that represents, Medo-Persians is what I was trying to say, that represents the Islamic revival that took place, the caliphate. So again, I'm being choppy because I don't want to get into the totality of this. What I want you to see is to be open-minded and realize that it may not work out like our Bible prophecy teachers tell us of a revived Roman Empire and the Antichrist coming from Europe. I believe he will be Islamic. I believe he'll be Islamic because that makes more sense to me for him to rile those people up and for them to follow a guy like that to have a caliphate, to have this world dominion mindset than it would be from some European white guy who has no relationship whatsoever. Does that make sense? And then he has to be able to fool the Jews through signs and wonders and false miracles. So that's just, I just touched a little bit. I don't want to go too deep on that. Now talking about Daniel's vision, he sees it as the four beasts. Remember the four beasts that he saw? He's seeing exactly Revelation chapter 17, okay, and other places. Why am I doing it this way? Because I'm taking the Old Testament, I'm making an overlay, I'm putting it on top of the New Testament. We're looking at world history that has happened. Nothing's new under the sun. That same spirit that was on these men is the same spirit that will be activated in this day. Does that make sense? Again, we sit here in 2022 and we're all new, fresh. We have technology. Everything's new and approved, rebrand or whatever. And we serve the Ancient of Days, who said there's nothing new. And so we've had the same serpent in the garden doing all his weaving, if you will, throughout centuries, through the hearts of men. And now he comes to the climactic moment where it becomes megas. It becomes global in scale. It becomes supercharged. It's his kingdom that he wants to come. Talking about the devil. And I got to end right there. I have so much. I thought I could get through this whole chapter tonight. I cannot do it. I cannot do it. Let me leave you with just the reality of you have to understand this deals with the final government. The final government. And history repeats itself. There's no doubt about it. And so go back to that verse again. I'm sorry. Let's just cap it off with this. Okay, that's okay. I act like I was closing. I gave you a head fake. But I want to hit it again. And upon her forehead, in other words, you know, if I had my name written here, you'd probably see it better than if I had a little name tag, right? Forehead, the mind, the front part, the forward thinking, the forward movement of this particular entity. It had the name written mystery. Again, something that shut up. We totally don't understand until game time. Babylon the Great. So now Babylon that was is Babylon that is in a great form. The mother, the giver of life to all the harlots, all the false doctrines, all witchcraft, all craziness that's in the house today in churches and the abominations of the earth. Again, the fornication, the idolatry, the filth, the stuff that makes God want to puke. That's in humanity in the form of religiosity. And the Antichrist, the devil, uses this system for what he wants. Father, thank you for this opportunity to teach this. Oh, it gets gooder and gooder and better and better. And just help us to get through this and just to glorify your name through it all. In Jesus' name, bless your people. Amen. I love you guys. I'll see you Sunday. Be blessed.